Thank you, Brother Tommy Good, for leading us in those patriotic songs. And yes, isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We know that to be Jesus Christ, don't we? We certainly do. That's the power of God in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. And the whole congregation said. Now for the visitors, just to let you know, when I do this, what do they do, congregation? Okay, just to let you know, just to encourage you along. All right, you're doing well. Oh, look at that. We've got elders. That's three amens before we got started. That's the way we like it. Hey, before I get into everything, of course, we welcome our visitors, and we're happy to have you here today. I want to give a couple of shout-outs. The first one goes to a Louisiana boy who's out in the kitchen along with his bride, and they are toiling away since early this morning cooking. And you'll know he's from Nolens because when you taste that food, it'll be good. So we want to give a shout-out to Greg and Robin McAdams. We're blessed to have them in our presence and blessed to have them out in our kitchen today. And I want to say to Alan and Mona Craig, thanks for the rain. You see, about 30 days ago, they had sprinklers installed out at their place. And that's about when the rain got going, and I don't think they've had them sprinklers tested yet. So thanks for the rain to Alan and Mona Craig. We appreciate all of that. And, of course, we appreciate all of you that are here that are in law enforcement. And I want to give a little special shout-out to my Tennessee cousin. I had to come all the way to Henderson, Texas, to find out that I'd have a sure-tailed cousin in Joe Sorrells, who is from Tally Station in that area, Tennessee, which is a few miles, probably about a day's ride by horseback, from Lewisburg to the south and a little north of Petersburg, and out on Fishing Ford Road. I'm sure that Joe caught a fish or two out there, and he knows what's going on. And I just wanted to shout him out because I appreciate that he got to Tennessee and found him a Texas woman, and he hasn't been back. Okay, come on now. Don't be slow on the uptake. I had a grandpa from Tennessee. I had a grandpa from Texas. There was a lot of, tension at times, especially football season. That's coming up. You know how all that kind of thing goes. And I heard tell one time a Texan said to the Tennessee farmer, he said, hey, you got any land? He said, yes, sir. He said, how much land do you have? Tennessee farmer said, oh, about 300 acres. And Tennessee farmer said to the Texas farmer, said, hey, you got some land over in Texas? He said, yes, sir. He said, well, how much land do you have? He said, well, let me tell you. When I get up early in the morning and I get into my pickup, about the close of day when the sun is going down, I'm about the end of my property. And a Tennessee farmer said, yeah, I had an old Ford truck like that once to myself. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? Well, we love all of you. I love a lot of these old stories. I really do love logic. I thought this kind of fit in with our law enforcement day, but David Roberts, you'll appreciate this. The Louisiana State Police received a number of reports of illegal rooster fighting being held in an area down around Abbeville, Louisiana, so they sent their very famous a detective down there, that's Boudreaux from Thibodeau, to investigate. Boudreaux promptly got started, Judge, on his investigation, and after he'd been there just a few short hours, he reported back to his commander and said to him, there is three main groups involved in this here rooster fighting. Well, the commander said, well, Boudreaux, that's really great work. He said, you're all sure about that. Who are they? He said there is the Texas Aggies, the local Cajuns, and the Mafia from New Orleans. Puzzled, the commander said, now, Boudreaux, how did you find all of that out in just one evening? Well, he replied, he said, I went down there and I done seen that rooster fight. I did it in person. And I knowed immediately that them Aggies was involved when a duck was entered into the fight. The commander nodded. He said, I'll buy that. But what about the other groups? He said, well, I knowed the Cajuns was involved when somebody bet on the duck. He said, I see. Well, how did you figure out it was the Mafia that was involved or behind all of this? He said, that was easy. The duck won. All right. I know that all of those stories don't always work out like that in real life. We do want you to know that we appreciate the kind of decisions and things that you have to do in order to keep our community safe. God bless you for that. I want to guide your attention today to a passage of Scripture that I hope will encourage every one of us to be the kind of person that our community needs. I want to talk to you about standing up in the gap, fulfilling a role in your life, in our community, in the church. I want to ask you to turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, the prophet, sometimes known as the prophet of captivity. Prophesied when Israel was down there in captivity. And he says to us in verses 23 through 31 of chapter 22, again, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to the land, you are a land that has not been cleansed or rained on in the day of wrath. There is a conspiracy of her princes within her, like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They devour people, they take treasures and precious things, and they make many widows within her. Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean. And they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbath so that I am profaned among them. Her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. And her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. And they say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion. They commit robbery. They oppress the poor and the needy. And they mistreat the foreigner and they deny them justice. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. So I will pour out my wrath upon them and I will consume them with my fiery anger. And I will bring down on their own heads all that they have done, declares the Sovereign Lord. This, of course, is a scathing accusation about Israel. Well, how many of you went to a football game? Nobody? Oh, somebody. Well, you know, sometimes they refer to football as the gridiron wars. I remember when I was in high school, yes, I can remember that far back. I don't remember much. But I can remember the coach saying, fill the gap, son. Now, when you play defense, You need to learn to fill the gap.
And it didn't matter what size you were or how big you were or little you were or whatever it might be the case. Just get in the gap or the hole. Slow them down. That's about all little Bob could do on defense, but I could outrun them on offense. That doesn't look very good on defense. That is to outrun them. Fill the gap so that you can stop the play. Well, I think Henderson did pretty good on that this weekend. I mean, this last Friday night. We look forward to a great season, but I'm just saying to you, what was being said by the prophet could very well be said by the things that happen today. We need to step up and learn how to fill in the gap. Spiritually speaking, as we engage in the constant spiritual warfare of our own souls and the souls of people, there are holes in the defensive wall, and those holes are in our defensive line. We need to step up and fill that gap. Now, God was not happy with Israel. They were in big trouble spiritually. They were losing their battle. They were drifting further and further away from God. Does this sound familiar? You know, if you look at our country and our goings on today, it just seems as though we're drifting further and further away from God. I want to throw a but in there. My professor always told me that whenever somebody said but, it means he was fixing to butt what he just said out the door. But I want to just say to you, not everything in America is bad. I'm looking out here into the eyes of a lot of good people. I wonder what would happen in Henderson if everybody in this room began to stand in the gap. I wonder what would happen if in our community, if we would stand up and raise up our voices for the Lord and say to the people that this isn't right. This is not what the Lord teaches. This is not what God wants from us. He wants us to fill in the gap. This verse, verse 30, that says, I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall, and I found none. It's sort of a lonely, empty verse, isn't it, Tom? Think that God was looking for somebody to be on His side. It didn't matter who it would be, just anybody that could help could reman the wall and to fill the hole in the wall so that they could keep their defenses up. But it wasn't happening. That verse may have been a reference to an earlier warning. It was found back in chapter 13 of the book of Ezekiel, and at verse 5, you have not gone up to the breaks in the wall to repair it for the house of Israel, so that it will stand in the battle of the day of the Lord. And in fact, Israel was eventually carried off into captivity. And it was because of this very thing. And I think we find ourselves today in a very similar kind of situation, which the same immoral conditions prevail. We can expect a similar kind of tragedy unless people are found who are ready and willing to step up into the gap. I want us to kind of consider for just a moment how we can go about filling the gap in the spiritual line of defense. I kind of look to these men and women that are in our community that are already doing that. Got our sheriff back here on this side, on my right and on your left. I know that he and his deputies struggle with keeping that law and order and that peace all of the time. We appreciate you, Jeff, and all that the things that you do, and all of your people that diligently serve our community. There are so many folks in this room that are a part of all of that, who bring them to justice and help them to keep our community safe. But a lot of times, when we say things like that, when someone sees that something needs to be done, sometimes the reaction is, well, that's just not my job. And sometimes the hole goes unfilled. Before we get too much into the concepts of those holes of our spiritual defenses, what needs to be taken care of, I'd like to spend a moment on saying to you, I hope that you'll balance your gift with the needs. And say to you, when you think about, this is not my talent, I want to just mention a couple of people. Moses said, this is not my gift. You remember that story? God said, Moses, I need you. I got a job for you to do. And Moses said, what? Well, I'm ready to go. That's not what he said. He said, that isn't my gift. That's not what I do best. You remember a fellow by the name of Jonah? God called down on Jonah and said something to Jonah. He said, hey, that's just not my gift. I'm not passionate enough to go and warn the ungodly people over in Nineveh. Jeremiah, the prophet, also said, hey, I'm too young to serve in such a way. It's not my gift. Gideon, when he was called to develop an army, initially he said, I'm just a nobody. This is not my gift. I want to dispel that for just a moment, if I can, among us. We're not asking you to be that particular person that's the specialty person that really knows how to. You don't have to be a mason to put some kind of protection up in the hole in the wall. And so we have to learn how to balance our gifts with what the needs are. Even if I can just provide a temporary way to help another person along the line, that is what God is looking for. I know that a lot of us think, well, that's just not who I am. That's not my job. That's not my gift. There are other people that are so better suited to do this. And I know, at least I know it's true for me, that I'm much more comfortable doing the things that I feel like I'm good at doing, or doing the things that I like to do. And that comes from Scripture, doesn't it? Romans chapter 12. Verses 4 through 8 say that each one of us has a body, or we are one body with many members, and these members don't have all the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form a body, and each member belongs to all of the others, and we all have differing gifts. Some of us do this better and some do that better. All of that is true. And I feel more comfortable doing what I feel like I'm doing better. I'm sure that we serve better and with more joy naturally when we are where our gifts and our talents are the best. But you know what? There is sometimes when somebody just needs to step up. It's better to serve in your own gift area. But standing up, God is looking for somebody with the willing heart to fill the gap. That's what has to happen. You might be the smallest or the poorest trained. You may think of yourself as, I'll never be able to do that. And yet, God is simply looking for someone who's willing to do the job, to step up and to do what needs to be done. Hello? Okay, that's better. We know that's true. We take care of things on an emergency basis. In fact, we have one of the best guys who's able to what I call flim-flam something and get us through. That's David Chenault. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a great way. He helps us get through stuff when most of us think it ain't happening. If it comes to the computer, David can get it figured out. It may take him a while, but he'll get it figured out. Now, we all know that Bob is, that's not his gift. Well, they don't come asking me to get it done. God is looking for the person who will stand up and will do it and fit the gap to build the wall, to come back to a place and rebuild it and help us to get better prepared for the onslaught. morality and standards are being torn down constantly. Sometimes we call it society. Sometimes we say, well, it's the Hollywood mentality or it's the modernism. But the real truth of it is, it's Satan, isn't it? It's the devil. He's alive and he's well. And he's active. He's out here everywhere. He doesn't want you to build up the wall. He doesn't want you to make repairs. He wants you to say, hey, that's not my gift. I'll have to let somebody else do that. There's only one way for you to do that. You've got to step up and stand in the gap. Ezekiel 22 speaks towards this. Their sins included bloodshed, tearing people apart, idolatry, the misuse of power and position, despising the holy things, being irreverent, despising the Sabbath. They had a lot of things going on that were wrong and God was not pleased. And there are things like that that are prevalent today. You know what we've got to do? We've got to have people who know what the Bible says and who are willing to confront sin. I know it's not easy. I know that's not what you want to do. But when you know something is the source of the bad thing in the city, I'm so glad we have police officers who are going around our city, and when they see something suspicious, that they're checking it out. Can I get an amen here? I mean, that's what we're looking for, isn't it? We would like to prevent it before it happens, especially if it's getting ready to happen to me. You've got to find a way to get in there and resolve conflicts. I think today we have a lot of people who want to just step away from what the conflict is and not do anything about it. We are supposed to be the kind of people who understand that we have to resolve conflicts. We've got to get together with people. We've got to see one another as equals. And we've got to talk to one another as though we care about them. We can't mistreat them and expect them not to mistreat us. And when it comes time to do it, we need to get the book out and teach them the truth. Isn't that right? We want to teach them what the book says about it. I know that everybody is not always willing or ready, but trust me, there are people who are and who are waiting for us or someone to help guide them so that they can know what the truth actually is. Didn't Jesus say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God? And if you want to make peace, you can teach them the truth of God. And you can do then one of the things that maybe is very, very difficult for all of us to keep within our busy schedule. But that's taking time to pray for them. If you don't make a discipline about praying, brethren, God's not going to be there to help you when you need Him. Make a discipline. Pray. Get people in your prayers. See that God turns situations around. I like to think of myself as being a positive person because I believe God is a positive God. He wants all people everywhere to be saved. And we are His instruments for that to happen. All right. Teach them the truth. Pray for them. Now sometimes Steve Higginbotham, he knows I'm the Lion preacher. He loves to tell that story. That's because I'm a member of the Lions Club. That's L-I-O-N, okay? But if you say that fast enough, well, it sounds like the Lion preacher. And, hey, I'm a human being. I've told a lie or two in my life. So have you. And I'm telling the truth right now. That's because we all fit into this place. We all need to be prayed for. We need to reach out and help our families and our community and in our city. Right here in Henderson. We don't have to go around the world to find it. It's right here. And they need help. And you can do it.
All we need is somebody that's willing to do what needs to be done. Isn't that right? I love every one of you. I'm glad you're here. I pray you'll stay and have a meal with us. If we can help you spiritually on your walk with God, we'd love to sit down and visit with you and talk to you, encourage you in your daily life. May God bless you as you go through your life and in our community. Help us to stand in the gap and keep the wall together and let people know that Christ, the Lord, He is the ultimate stand in the gapper. Isn't that right? That's exactly what Jesus did for us, didn't He? He stood in the gap and brought us back to the Heavenly Father. And there are people out here who need to know that message. God bless you so much. Why don't you come if you have a need while we stand together and sing.